here, and I hope that you engage with God in worship today and meet some folks that you know. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 5 is where we're going to begin, and we're going to look at a lot of scriptures this morning. I say that not for you to go, oh my goodness, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures, but to encourage you, if you have something to take notes on, we're going to look at some really, really good scriptures this morning that you might just want to jot down those scriptures and look at them later this week. We're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 5, and we just finished up not long ago a series called Diversions. And really, to preface that series, we talked about what are some of the diversions that kind of get us off track in our relationship with Jesus. And I said this each week, and I'll say it again today, that basically the goal of our lives and the foundation of our lives and the purpose of our lives for the rest of our lives is that we become more like Jesus. And for some people, I know that sometimes when you hear terms a lot, or you hear church terms or religious terms or whatever it is, they can lose their meaning. That's a phrase that we want to never lose its meaning. That's a phrase that we want to hang on to and hold on to and live up to and continue to discover for the rest of our lives. What does it mean to live like Jesus? And the best way that we know to do that is to go to the Scripture and read the words of Jesus and see the actions of Jesus and hear the thoughts of Jesus and hear Paul and Peter and John and others later on in the Gospels and in the New Testament reflect on the teachings of Jesus. The best way that we know to do that is just to come to His words and say, if this is the goal of my life, then I want to read this Word and I want to incorporate this Word into my life. It's really that simple. It's not really complicated at all. And a lot of times when we come to this Word, sometimes the simple reading of the text is probably the best reading, the first reading. And so don't be intimidated by the Word, because I know for a lot of folks it's like, well, I haven't read it that much and I just don't know, and there's so much there that I just don't think I can understand. You know what? You got the rest of your life. God's patient with you. Get you a study Bible, read some other folks' notes, and talk to some other people. But listen, you don't have to be a seminary professor to open up your Bible consistently and read it. And if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, one of the things that you can say is, God, I need help in interpreting this. I need help in understanding this. But listen, as we talk today about how is my life going to change, and listen, when you and I begin to live lives and we begin to get ourselves, and I say this frequently, and maybe you say this often, that you're just not where you want to be. Things are just not really working out the way that you want them to work out, or maybe you're just not growing the way that you want to grow, or you're just not where you feel like you need to be in your family or at work or just in your relationship with God, and it seems like things are just kind of out of whack, and I just can't seem to put my finger on it why it is that I'm just not feeling it, you know? Why is it that I just don't feel like I'm where I need to be? And we often feel that way. But there's some very simple principles in God's Word that every time that we feel that way, that can guide us to get right where we need to be. Right where we need to be. And this morning, as we look in Ephesians, and we think about one of the first steps, I think, for any of us is recognizing I'm not where I need. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I need to be. And what is it that needs to change in me? And listen, God listens to, He knows every thought, He listens to every prayer, and with every time that you reach out to Him, He's there. And every time that you cry out to Him, He's listening. And where the beginning part for most of us is not only saying, God, I need more. There's nothing fresh happening in my life. Or there's not enough that I think pleases You. And I want to be somebody who experiences You and knows You and makes You known to other people and makes a difference in other people's lives, not just for this week, not for just this month, not just for this year, but for eternity. And how do I do that? And so what you do is you begin to honestly come before the Lord. He's not scared. He's not intimidated. He's not surprised. He's not shocked by anything that you and I have to say. And so the best place for you and I to start is to say, God, this is what I feel, and this is what I know, and this is what I see in Your Word, and most of those things are not connecting at all. And would You just help me? And He always answers that. He always does. Every time. For some of us, though, it's the getting to that point that we cry out. And so we begin with a pursuit of Him. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. And here's words of pursuit, okay? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And listen to this pursuit. And find out what pleases the Lord. Search it out. Find it out. Lord, what is it that pleases You? That's what I want to live. Skip on down to verse 15. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but what? Understand what the Lord's will is. It's pursuit again. Find out what pleases the Lord and understand what the Lord's will is. And now listen, verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. We talked a little bit about that. We'll talk a little bit more about it today. And sometimes that becomes kind of a mystical notion to us. You're like, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? I mean, Spirit, how do you get a hold of that? What is that? And what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? We're going to talk about that this morning, just a little bit. But it begins for you and I when we say, Lord, I want to please You. I don't feel like I'm where I need to be. I want to know You. I want to make You known. I want to know Your will. But more than that, I want to know You. And as I know You, Your will be made known to me. Now, if you don't want to turn there, these verses will be up here, but you can turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. Right there in the New Testament, about the sixth book. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now listen to this. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We talk a lot about the fact that our lives are an act of worship. So let's go back to verse 1. What did he say was our spiritual act of worship? I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We offer our entire lives. Verse 2. Now listen to these two phrases. And this is the difference for you and I. Two things that we're asked to do so that we might know what the Lord's will is. Two things that the writer of Romans says, this is what we need to be. This is what we need to do in order to know the mind and the heart of the Lord. Verse 2, do not be conformed. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Step 1. Step 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then what? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, this right here, the Scripture says, it's real plain. It's real plain. We're trying to figure out who I need to be, what I need to do, how is it that I can get my life where it needs to be. And maybe it's just things that you're trying to understand about your life, where you're going, and what is it that God wants me to do to take the next step. And the Scripture says this, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed with the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what the will of God is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Those two things. What does it mean to no longer be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world? What does that mean? Well, we're going to look at that. Now, when I turn this way sometimes, my mic cuts out. As we talk about the fact that I think this is really interesting, and I began to look in the Word just in the past few weeks and try seeing how do we answer this question. As you and I, as we've walked through not just the past few weeks, but some of you for the past 4 years, as we've talked about what does it mean for us to look like Jesus and how do we pursue that, and we've talked about the Word and getting into the Word and knowing the words of Jesus and knowing the teachings of Jesus and being able to incorporate those in our lives, and then we take on the thoughts of Jesus and the actions of Jesus and we please the Father with that. But the question came to my mind, what is it that Jesus wanted to be? Who did Jesus want to be like? What is it that Jesus wanted to do? What was the goal of His life? If I want to be like Him, who did He want to be like? Turn to John. John chapter 12. We're going to look at a couple of verses in chapter 12 and a couple of verses in chapter 14. Look at John chapter 12, beginning in verse 47 with me. John 12, 47 says this, and this is Jesus talking here. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. Now listen to this. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that His command leads to eternal life. Well, listen to this. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Who did Jesus want to be like? All of the words that I speak are the words that the Father has given me to speak. That's what He says. And when you and I talk about speaking the words, I'm not talking about just quoting Scripture. When I talk about speaking the words of Jesus, I'm talking about speaking the truth, speaking it with our words, speaking it with our lives, knowing what He meant, knowing what He taught, knowing what He valued, knowing what He wanted for our lives. And Jesus said, the words that I speak the words of the Father. I only speak what He's spoken to me. And so the example for you and I is the same. So I want to speak the words of Jesus. So what? That's what Jesus said. But what did Jesus do? Turn over one page to John chapter 14, verse 30. Jesus says this, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father and what? And that I do exactly what the Father has commanded me. Man, is that not beautiful? Jesus says, not only do I speak the words that the Father has given me, but I do exactly what the Father wants me to do. Now, for you and I, in our lives, and when I come to the point where I'm thinking, it ain't clicking. There's no tumblers falling in place. There's no cylinders fire. I'm not at all where I need to be. What an awesome picture that Jesus says, I speak what the Father wants me to speak, and I do what He commands me to do. What an incredible picture for my life. God, what is it that You want me to do? I want You to do what I want You to do. I want You to do what I've commanded You to do. What if I measured every small and large sin in my mind and every decision in my mind that I've made myself without Him, or every direction I've gone in my own strength, and I said, you know what, God? I want to do exactly what You want me to do, and I'm going to measure my morning by that, and my afternoon by that, and my evening by that, and I want my words to be Your words, and I want my actions to be Your actions, and when they're not, I'm going to stop. And I'm going to recognize it. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to get my life right. And I'm going to stop just having good intentions. And I'm going to start acting. And I'm going to start with everything that I know that I need to get right before You. And I'm just going to take it a day at a time. But just intending and wanting and hoping and thinking one day I'm going to get to this and one day that's better, and one day with my kids, and one day with my spouse, and one day with my job, and one day with my whatever it is that I feel like God's prompting my heart to do, one day I'll get to that. And He says, I just want you to do what I've commanded you to do. And my life and your life will be measured by the distance between what we know God wants us to do and how long it takes us to do it. And He says, it's not that hard. It's really right here in black and white. But what I have to do, is the first thing. First thing we saw in Romans, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. I want to tell you something. usually when I'm not where I want to be or where I need to be, it's because there's a lot of other competing affections that have entered into my heart. There's a lot of other things that I've given my time and my love and my energy and my money and everything else to. And the Lord is patient. But I keep getting off track. And so the Scripture says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And what the Spirit says is, I want you to recognize and take serious all of the things in your life that are displeasing to me. All of the things in your life that are not where they need to be. Why don't you begin to take all those things and confess those things and bring them before me and take them seriously and quit making allowances. Quit making excuses for yourself. I mean, I encourage my kids to do this probably almost every day. We talk about taking responsibility because it's nearly somebody else's fault almost all the time. Whatever it is we're talking about, the first thing that comes up is it's somebody else's fault. I'm not real far from that. When I begin to think about the things that I need to correct, even if I say that it's my own fault, it's with it right now, but I'll deal with it soon. And so, the Scripture says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You want to know what God's perfect will is? You want to know what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is? You know, well, you want to know how to live a life filled with joy and purpose and meaning? You want to know how to live a life where you feel like, yes, I'm being the parent I need to be. Yes, my marriage is as rich as it could possibly be. Yes, my relationship with the Father is exactly as close as I can get it to where I need to be. And the Father says, and He teaches through the Word, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That's what He says. What does that mean? Well, Jesus, John the Baptist, wanted to say it when he came on the scene. What was it he said? He said this, and I won't read it right now, but you can look in Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist said this. He came on the scene. He's preaching a gospel of repentance, and he says this. Listen to these words, exact words from the gospel of Matthew. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That's what he says. What's that mean? Repent of your sins, own up to your sins, turn away from your sins, because there is a kingdom that God wants to set up in the hearts of people that's completely new to you. It's not a building with people. It is a kingdom in your heart. And Jesus Christ wants to set up that kingdom. Repent of your sins, for the kingdom of God is near. He's here. He's here, and He wants to take up residence in your life. And it says that as John is preaching that gospel, Jesus comes to be baptized by John. And Jesus is baptized. We saw that just a few weeks ago as so many people were baptized right here. And Jesus was baptized. And what Jesus said was, it wasn't that he had sinned. It wasn't that he needed to be washed of anything. It wasn't that he was recognizing his own bodily death and resurrection as we do when we celebrate baptism. Jesus was saying this, I completely agree with the teachings of this man who's been out in the wilderness. I agree with those teachings. That's why I'm being baptized. I want to follow those teachings. I want to follow that life. I'm not following John. I'm following those teachings. What? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You want to get your life where it needs to be? Own up to what you're not being. Own up to what you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. Take accountability for those things and say, I don't want to be like that anymore. And you know what it says in Matthew chapter 4? Jesus went out, and the Scripture says He began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Same words, same message. John had already been preaching it. But you know what he said? If you and I want the relationship with the Father that we desire, we have to take the sin in our life seriously. And there is no small sin that's not serious. Because anything that's displeasing to the Lord, anything that He doesn't want us to be or to do, gets in the way of our relationship with Him. That's what He's saying. Matthew chapter 5. Just a page over, Jesus is preaching. We'll put this on the screen for you, Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 27, if you want to turn there. Jesus says this. He's teaching a new teaching. He's talking about God and what God wants to do in the hearts of people. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, he addresses adultery, and he says it's not just about physical. It's not just about a physical relationship that's sin. He says even if you want this relationship, even if you think about this relationship, even if you have lust in your heart, you've sinned against God. Verse 28, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And he says this, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. And what's Jesus saying? He's saying, listen, take sin seriously. Because it's not avoidance is not going to solve anything. It's just going to fester. It's just going to get worse. It's just going to grow. And the only way that you're going to be able to tackle it, the only way that it's going to ever get better is for you to tackle it head on and deal with it and to say, God, this is in my life and it's not pleasing to you and I need your help with this. Now, hear me say this too. Sometimes the practical part in our lives when we're wanting to get rid of sin in our lives, it may not be that, okay, I've just got to get this out. Sometimes it's that you have to remove yourself from where the sin is. I don't know what's going on in every person's life, but I know what's gone on in my life before. And I know that there have been places and there have been people and there have been situations in my life that it wasn't just that I just need to hunker down and hope that I won't do it again. But God said the best way for you to deal with that is to get out. The best way for you to deal with that sin is not just to remove the sin, but to remove yourself. And when you remove yourself, you'll remove the temptation. And you begin to place yourself in other situations. You get away for a while. You get away permanently. Whatever it is in your life, however it is that you can get away from the thing that continues to pull you away, however it is. Because listen, it's not willpower that'll get us there. It's by crying out to the Lord. It's beginning to take steps in our lives to deal with the sin in our lives. Now, I'll just, for example, just one sin that Jesus mentions in Matthew chapter 6, and there's lots that he mentions, but in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at the verse 14, he says this. Talks about forgiveness. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, listen, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But listen to this. But if you do not forgive men their sins, what will God do? He won't forgive you either. Golly, bum. I mean, come on, Lord. That's a little tough, don't you think? I mean, don't you think? Isn't there another option here? Aren't we like the best? I mean, I don't know if it's just our culture. I don't know if it's just our generation. But, you know, maybe it's because we deal with appeals and amendments all the time that there's got to be another option. You're not just going to not forgive me if I don't forgive somebody else. Yeah. I'm not going to forgive you. If you forgive, no, don't forgive somebody else. And what we want to do and what we tend to do is just kind of water this down, you know. We water it down to say there's got to be another option. It's really not that serious, really, is it? God said in the Old Testament when they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, you have to go back and watch your Raiders of the Lost Ark to bone up on that. When they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant, better yet, go to the Bible. There's some inaccuracies in that movie. I watched it a couple weeks ago just to get ready for the new movie coming out. When they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant, God said, you put your hand on the Ark of the Covenant, you'll die. Ox stumbles, somebody puts their hands up to stop it. Dead. I mean, there's an ox that stumbled. I mean, put his hands up there to keep it from falling. It was your ark, it was your glory. I said, don't touch it. Saul, I want you to slaughter everything in all the cities. I want you to, every man, woman, and child, and all the animals. I don't want anything left. Saul saved some. God says, you'll no longer be king. I just saved a few things. It was just a little. Surely there's another option. Ananias and Sapphira come before the Lord. It says that in the new when they began to experience the change of Jesus in their life, what the early church did, they would sell property and lands so that if anybody else had need, their needs could be met. You know what Ananias and Sapphira did? They sold a piece of that they were sending all of the money to help other people in need, but they really didn't. They kept some back. I mean, they were giving everything, but they really didn't give everything. They gave maybe 90%. They kept 10% back, but they said that they did. They came to present their gifts that God struck them dead. Stream. But the reality is this. God takes seriously the sin in our lives. And when He says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, listen, for you and I to begin to wake up to where if we want to say out of one side of our mouth, I'm just really not where I need to be, and I really want to get where I need to be. I just don't know how to put my finger on it. Here's how you put your finger on it, black and white. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Take your sin seriously. Because God does. He's so full of grace, and He's so full of love, and He's so full of patience. But it doesn't change the fact at all that He takes the sin in our life seriously. And for you and I, it's coming. It's someone putting some water in our face and coming to the point that, you know what? I need to take it seriously too. If I want to do what the Lord wants me to do, if I want to say what the Lord wants me to say, I've got to get some of this stuff out of my life. That's what I've got to do. And then He says this, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be conformed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? Man, the way that you do that, Psalm chapter 1 says this, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Listen. And on His law he meditates day and night. That's Psalm chapter 1. But his delight's in the law of the Lord. How do I transform my mind? The way I transform my thinking is I begin to think these thoughts. And the only way I can think these thoughts is to begin to put my mind where this is. God, I want to pursue You. I want to know You. I want my life to be different. Then get sin out and transform your mind to think these thoughts. Joshua chapter 1, Moses says to Joshua before he crosses over, the Lord says to Joshua, only be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, Joshua, as you take these people into the promised land. And do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, the Scripture says. What is it? How do we transform our minds? By including the Word in our lives. Psalm 119:9. How can a young man keep his way pure? Listen, young men. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to Your Word. Psalm 119:11. Your Word I've hid in my heart so that I may not sin against You. It's exactly what we're talking about this morning. It's Your Word in my heart that keeps me from sinning against You. Listen, let me ask you this. What's it going to take? What's it going to take for you to stop saying one of these days? What's it going to take for you to begin to take action to get where you want to be? Let me tell you something. That's not a carrot on a stick that God just keeps moving. That's a reality in your life. But you and I have to put on our big boy pants, be big girls and boys, and take responsibility for the sin in our lives and for His desire. Quit making excuses that I don't know enough, and begin to put this, ingest this into our lives and expel the things out of our lives that aren't pleasing to Him. This is pretty simple. And you know what happens? We talked about this a few weeks ago, and there's some incredible passages in Galatians and Romans that talks about life in the Spirit. You know what happens when you begin to expel the sin in your life and you begin to put the thoughts of God and the thoughts of Jesus in your life? The Spirit begins to work in your life like you've never experienced before. You can't write fast enough. You can't talk fast enough. You can't think fast enough with how He wants to bless you and fill you with what God wants to do in you. Listen, He'll begin to work in you. He'll begin to create renewal in you. Listen, revival is not just an event. It's not a place. It's an experience with God, you and God. That's what it is. And if you want to know what the real meaning of revival and renewal in your life, it's when you get serious, when you say yes, God, to Him personally. And you no longer depend on a 30-minute Bible study a week to get you through. But you say, God, I want to take responsibility. I want to be the man. I want to be the woman that You created me to be. That's what I want to be. Let me encourage you to do that. What will happen is the Holy Spirit of God will begin to work in you. He'll begin to show you. He'll begin to encourage you. He'll begin to affirm you in ways that you haven't known before. But it's a daily confession and it's a daily dependence. It's a daily ingestion in His Word. Listen, His desire for you is to walk with Him. Well, you know, I think the Lord's pleased. I think the Lord's pleased that I go every Sunday. I think the Lord's pleased that, you know, I hit it sometimes. I mean, I get in the Word sometimes, and I pray, you know, here and there. Is something better than nothing? Absolutely. But you know what He wants? All of it. You know what He wants? Minute by minute. That's what He wants. And you know what? It's not out of reach. It's not out of reach.